Blog Talk Radio.
Make this dominant football, and here we are. Let's go off and do what we gotta do. This is not a hell. This is not a hell. This is a hell. Take it on three. 1, 2, 3. Take it.
They wanted the show. We're gonna put on a show, fight. Yeah, that's one thing we're gonna do, fight.
Yes, the NFL has returned. Fellas, go through the panel list. We got Chad the Dwick George.
What's good with you, fellas? Let's get it going. I'm excited to talk some football. Let's go.
We got Mark the Realist on the line.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
And I think we may have Keanu tonight, not sure, but you know he's always fashionably late. So, with much ado, let's get started, man. So, the man holiday was finally back this week. You know, that Sunday where it's time to skip church, send the kids out to play, and give the wife the credit card. So we can have 4 hours not being bothered. You know, so how do you guys feel about week one? Wait a minute. I almost forgot about my man, Tavon, Diesel Claw Best.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was letting you do your thing. You was on a roll. You was.
No, you here, brother. You are here. And we cannot be here without you. So, got to acknowledge we say the best for last. So, how we feel about week one, fellas?
I thought week one was solid. Wasn't really impressed with any teams. If any team I was impressed with was the Chiefs coming out there and getting what most would call was an upset. But watching the game, I don't know if it's much of an upset. I don't know if the Patriots are the same team they are. They've been the last few, about 10 years. They don't look like the same team.
Okay, so that was your take. What about you, Chad? What was your take overall this on week one heading to week two here?
Overall, I thought the week was okay. Like Rilla said, it wasn't too many teams that impressed me this week. It was nice seeing. I definitely was disappointed, I would say, in the Giants, how everybody talked, especially how y'all talked about, I should say. But everybody has been, though. I was very disappointed in the Giants. I was very disappointed in Brandon Marshall. He looked like an old man and didn't do anything that game. I was impressed by the Cowboys' secondary, though. But overall, though, a lot of defensive games. I wasn't impressed with the Colts. We know this. We all know this. And I was impressed with the Rams' defense, though.
Okay. What about you, Tavon? What was your overall assessment of week one?
Well, for week one, I mean, especially just for football in general, like, I just didn't feel the magic was, like, obviously we know football was back, so it was excitement, but many people did, I feel like from years past or just seasons past, like, we wasn't as excited, but, you know, from other seasons before. Like, this season was like, yay, football's back, but, you know, it's not something that we, you know, excited about completely, you know. Besides that, from week one, the most impressive team, I got to say, is Jacksonville. I really thought the offense was going to stink up the place, and I noticed that they actually led the right way with Leonard Fournette and getting 10 sacks against Texans. Without Duane Brown there, their offensive line is completely trash. Just like Rilla said on previous shows before, the most disappointing thing is obviously Cincinnati with the red-haired, you know, kid, that quarterback. Terrible. And defense hasn't really impressed me even though they, again, Texas O-line and pretty much against a rookie quarterback, they still end up losing the game. Kind of disappointing. I thought they would have somewhere to go, especially in that AFC North, especially with freaking Steelers. Steelers being the only team that I think will be an actual threat. Ravens' defense is still good. Offense is still a little bit out of whack. I thought Bengals actually, you know, probably make some strides this year, but unfortunately they haven't. So that's one disappointing thing. And also the Seattle Seahawks game against the Packers. Their defense is stout, but again, offense, no offensive line whatsoever. Just nothing impressed me as far as the Bengals and Seahawks. But overall, a decent week one.
All right. I can't say I agree with you on the not being excited, because I tell you what, when NFL season comes, it's my Christmas. I wait all year round for week one. And it's actually a good thing to be young, alone, and isolated. But that's a different story for a different day. But still, excited, man. Excited. So I guess we'll dive right into week two here. So I guess we'll start with the game, the first week two game of the week, which was the Bengals versus the Texans, another toilet bowl episode of Thursday Night Football. Let's hear your takes on it. I'll start with you, Chad, since you are closest proximity to these shitty-ass Bengals.
Well, we had a great show from the Little Red Pistol. slinging the ball around, not being able to make any pass. Yes, granted, his offensive line is terrible, but he played like trash. Once again, I don't think Deshaun Watson is their great hope. The Bengals need to fire the whole front office. Mike Brown, once again, is cheap. Just like all Cincinnati owners, they are all cheap. They don't want to spend money on anything good. Marvin Lewis should have been fired 4 years ago when he lost two straight playoff games in a row, but somehow he's still there. AJ Green needs to leave. He's wasting his talent there. Geno Atkins needs to leave. It's upsetting to see all these good players there, and they're wasting their talent because they have no offense. Their coach is literally he's a great guy, but I don't want him as a coach. He doesn't do anything. He's not good. And Houston's offense is trash. And their defense isn't that good either, as everybody tries to say it is either. And it was bad. Thursday Night Football needs to be gone. It needs to be gone. We have the Rams and the 49ers next week. Nobody wants to watch these two. Nobody wants to watch Thursday Night Football. It's terrible. It's terrible. Just get away with it.
Yeah. What was your take, Mark?
It's kind of exactly what I expected it to be. The Bengals and Texans, I think they've played each other 2 years previous in a row, and they've both been low-scoring games, so I kind of seen the same thing happening again. And it's exactly was two teams that were terrible on offense. And the game was close, and I felt like Deshaun Watson made the biggest play of the game with his, 50-yard touchdown run, and that was the difference in the game. Like Chad said, I don't think the Texans' defense is as good as people think. I think they have a great pass rush. Outside of that, that's really it. And I really feel bad for A.J. Green, like Chad said as well. I really wish that guy would get out of there. I feel like he's really just wasting his talent and his prime of his career there. This guy, Andy Dalton, he has to be one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, and I think they need to go in a different direction. I know it's tough because they paid Andy Dalton a lot of money, but I think that's just something the upper management is going to have to swallow, and I think they need to get Marvin Lewis out probably at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Well, I don't know if he'll be out by 7. You need somebody to open the prison. What's your thoughts on the Bengals-Texans, Tavon?
Okay, from that game alone, I pretty much said it. Pretty much Texans D pretty much shook up the Bengals offensive line, but Andy Dalton made some and has Kenyon say from last time he did the NFL show. Andy Dalton made some decent throws, but again, his consistency in pretty much making throws to other playmakers on his team besides AJ Green is just not there, and he just looks like a like Chad would say, a high school quarterback. So really, it's just, I feel like from that game alone, especially going against a rookie quarterback and the defense basically bailing out the offense for not putting up any points, especially at the time when Deshaun Watson ran that touchdown in, pretty much I don't know what else to for the Bengals to do besides just rebuild again or just restart the whole thing. You know, fired the front office completely. Marvin Lewis, they had to get another offensive coordinator today. They fired the offensive coordinator. He did not score a touchdown throughout the season, throughout 2 weeks, and they got a new offensive coordinator. And Marvin Lewis' job was completely on the line. Completely, like, this is like his final chance just because of this outbreak, just because Andy Dalton not putting the ball in the end zone whatsoever, not leading his team to a successful drive, only getting field goals. It's terrible. Like, I feel like the defense has done enough. Again, the secondary is not the best in the NFL. It's not too bad and it's not good, but still that front seven still was making plays time and time again, and pretty much the offense is just bailing out these other teams' defense. Like, when you talk about the Texans just ran up into Andy Dalton's face, pretty much throw different looks. He's still trying to throw to A.J. Green. A.J. Green, from these 2 weeks, I believe, had, like, probably a total of 26 targets, I believe. I'm not sure. Probably plus 25 right now. And he only has caught, I think, 14, 15. Regardless of not, A.J. Green shouldn't be the main, like, he should be the main focus of the offense, but it's other people around there. And I think Andy Dalton needs to first, I think people just need to reevaluate that situation with quarterback. Regardless, like, it got to be somebody different for Andy Dalton. I think he has enough time. He had enough time in that franchise to do whatever he needs to do. I think it's time to move on and actually, first, get a better head coach, and then, two, pretty much fire Marvin Lewis and get somebody to replace Andy Dalton with, whether it be A.J. McCarron. I don't care if he's worse than him. At least you have to start fresh somewhere. And I just hope and pray A.J. Green get out of there and go on a team that actually wants him to, you know, actually wins with him on the squad, because he's a heck of a talent.
Okay. You know, because my take on the game here, when you're consistent for a while, like the Bengals have been for the 5-6 years, they've been pretty consistent playoff team. At some point, it runs its course, whether it's coaches, whether it's players. In this day and age in free agency as well, your window closes shut really fast. And I think over the last couple of years, we've seen people leave, like Marvin Jones and the big loss of Andrew Whitworth last year. And Andre, what's the right tackle name they lost from? Forgot his name, from Alabama. That was there. Yeah, right. So over the years, you know, you lose more and more players. Some players get older. Some players just regress, period. And unfortunately for them, their best opportunity was probably that year when Dalton got hurt right before the playoffs and McCarron came in, before Vontaze Burfict hit Antonio Brown with the freaking flying elbow. That was probably their best opportunity and their last opportunity. This team is going to be broken apart, hopefully, because that's what needs to be done. They need a fresh start and to start over. I don't know if that's going to happen. I guess we'll see. But, like, I think that we all agree on this panel that, hey, it's time. It's time to start over. So, well, moving on from the Toilet Bowl Thursday night game of the week, we'll jump into the Bills-Panthers matchup this weekend. What's your thoughts? We'll start with you, Mark.
I think it's a game that the Panthers should should win. I feel like they're just a better football team at this point. The Bills seem to make a lot of trades this offseason, trades that you would make in a team looking to quote-unquote tank. And I feel like the Panthers are still trying to compete. So I think that's a game that the Panthers should win. I think they will win that game. If they don't win, I think that would be really disappointing. And they would have some things I think that they should reconsider. But I think there's no reason the Panthers don't win this game. And I think they'll win by at least two to three scores.
Okay. What's your thoughts, Tay?
The Bills-Panthers matchup, especially for the Bills side, I feel like they're going to have something to prove. I feel that Bills secondary is kind of underrated. Just, again, this is from the Jets, from just experience, but then again, it's the Panthers. So I understand where everybody's going to be coming from. I feel like that secondary actually has potential. Front seven is good, especially with Carolina. Offensive line, especially how, I mean, the 49ers don't really have much of a pass rush. They, again, young, inexperienced, so I understand that. But now you're actually facing a Bills team that actually can get pressure to the quarterback, especially from last year. They was like probably one of the best teams in the league in terms of getting sacks. So Cam Newton, especially with his still injured a little bit, still not 100%. I see a close game. I still see Carolina coming out and winning just due to their defense alone. I feel like their defense is really good, especially now with Luke Kuechly back in the mix with week two coming up. So I feel the Panthers is definitely going to win that game. It should be a game that the Panthers win.
All right. Chad, coming to you.
I got the Panthers winning this matchup. I think, like I real said, and I know, like I said, I've heard you say it a couple times, I feel like y'all are trying to rebuild, but I don't think y'all are saying that y'all are rebuilding at all, but I feel like that y'all are trying to. I feel like I said, the Panthers, with Cam Newton being kind of injured still, I still expect him to go out there and have himself a day. It's not going to be super Cam running and stuff, but I expect him to make throw plays with his arm and stuff. I feel like they'll win by at least 14 points, at least 14 or more points. It'd be fun to watch their defense play, though, seeing Luke Kuechly and the Panthers defense play. I expect Tyrod Taylor to actually go out there and have a good game, though. I mean, I feel like Tyrod Taylor is a lot of people don't put faith in him, but I still have a little faith in him. I still think he could be a good quarterback. He just has to be able to manage better. He has to be able to make the passes. They have to have faith in him. I mean, but I do have the Panthers winning by 14-plus.
Okay. So, obviously, I'm a Bills fan, and I have mixed feelings on this game. One hand, I feel, okay, maybe we have a little bit upper hand going into this game because of Doug McDermott, Joe Webb, and Mike Tolbert on our roster. And knowing their offense, I actually read an article this week that Ron Rivera changed all his calls for this game because we have Joe Webb. So for him to do that means that we obviously have intel. Okay. But on the other hand, I'm looking at the Bills lineup, and I'm like, okay, we have a good front four. That could cause a lot of problems versus an inconsistent and probably overall bad Carolina Panther offensive line. But then the other hand, I look at it, okay, Buffalo's strong point is the running game. And as we've seen for years, Luke Kuechly can absolutely destroy a running game. The only time you can run on the Panthers, if he's healthy, is if he gets a concussion at some point during the game and he goes out. That could create huge problems for Buffalo. And without a running game, I don't see Tyrod Taylor beating them. But when I reviewed the 49er game, I saw that Cam was 14-25 for 171. But I also saw the biggest eye-opener for me was the 6 carries for negative 3 yards. with, as you said, Chad, you could tell he's not super Cam. They're saying, oh, he looked good, he looked healthy, but we realize that's not Cam Newton's game. We know Cam Newton can account for 350 all-purpose yards in any game at any point in time. And seeing him rush for negative three, that's not him. He's not fully healthy. So, in this one, I'm going to have to give the edge. I'm going to have to give a slight edge to Carolina. And I'm taking 3 to 7 points because they're at home and they do have Cam Newton. But that's just my pick for this game. But I think it is going to end up being a very good matchup. I think it's going to end up being a chess matchup at some point just because of the notoriety of the two teams. All right, moving on to the next game of the week. We have the, let's see here. What's the next game of the week here? Rams and, is it Rams 49ers or is that week three?
That's week three.
Week three.
That's week three. That's the Thursday night game.
Okay. So that's week three. So we're moving on to the Bears and Buccaneers game here. Now, obviously, the Bucs have not played this season yet, and we saw the Bears lose a close one, a really, really close one, to the Atlanta Falcons, in which Jordan Howard dropped the ball that we covered the other day. What's your thoughts? We're coming to you first, Mark.
I don't think this will be much of a game. I think the Buccaneers should win this one easily. I'm not really impressed with the Bears. I mean, they were good against the Falcons, but I feel the Bucs are a little bit better than the Falcons defensively. And I feel like the Bucs offense will be in sync against the Bears. I think Mike Evans is going to have a big game, like 150 receiving yards and like two touchdowns. And I think Jameis will have a solid game with about 350 passing yards and four touchdowns, something like that, and I think the Bucs would win that easy, 20-plus.
Okay. Tavon, coming to you.
For the Bucs and Bears game, I feel the Bucs is going to completely run wild, I feel, against Chicago. I don't think for a second that the talent that's on the Bucs offense is, I mean, I feel like the Bucs offense is going to run through the Bears defense completely. The Bears offense, especially during week one, was pretty good in terms of the rushing attack. They're a little bit iffy on the wide receivers, but I feel like the Bucs front seven, especially with Jerry McCoy, especially with the front seven with Kwon Alexander, even though they don't have the best front seven in the league. They have some pretty fast linebackers. They have some pretty fast linemen that can get to the quarterback, I feel. And I feel as though, especially with their offense, especially with Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard, just a lot of weapons for Jameis Winston to throw to, I think it's going to give the Bears a lot of fits. So I'm definitely taking Buccaneers for this one.
Okay. What you think, Chad?
I'm taking the Buccaneers on this one. I'm not necessarily going to say it's going to be a blowout. I think they only win by maybe even seven. I'm saying that is. This is their first week playing. The rest of the year, they've been playing preseason and practicing, but that's not the real game feel. As we saw last week, we all watched the games. You could see the players getting fatigued and stuff. These guys haven't played a game. Their first game was last week. They haven't played that first game yet. The Bears have. They have the first game experience right now. They'll be more. They won't be fatigued as much fatigue as they are. So I expect them to go out there and outrun them, but have a little bit more energy than them at some points of the game. But talent wise, though, the Buccaneers definitely have a way better team than them. I do expect James Winston. I'm gonna call it right now. He's gonna have at least four touchdowns. He's going to have two picks also. He's going to have a regular Jameis Winston game. But all in all, I think they have too much talent to overpower them. And then the Buccaneers defense with Jerry McCoy leading it, Levante David, Brent Grimes, and Quan Alexander. I mean, this is going to be too much for the Bears. I think they, like I said, the Buccaneers pull away at the end and take the win by 2 touchdowns, I would say.
Okay. Well, my thoughts on this game, I really think that the Bucs are just going to come out and just really beat the hell out of the Bears in this game. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The Bears had a major, major opportunity to win against Atlanta week one, and they squandered it. I do not think that the Bears have a shot this game. I think this is the Buccaneers' first game of the season, home opener, DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard, all coming in. I think this is 31-14. I think it's 31-14. So I don't think it'll be close. But that's our thoughts. I think we all picked the Bucs in this game. So moving forward to our next matchup of the week, which will be the Vikings and Steelers. And this is a very interesting matchup for the simple fact that we also still don't even know if Sam Bradford is suiting up for this game. They did sign a quarterback off the practice squad to the active roster, which is a sign that he may not possibly be playing. So we'll start with you, Chad.
All right, question. Who's their starting quarterback if he doesn't play? Who's their backup?
Case Keenum.
All right. I definitely think it's going to be a defensive game. Both are decent. Vikings offense is good. But I think it's going to be a defense-oriented game this game. I'm going to
Hey, you're breaking up, Chad. Plays. Breaking up on us, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, my bad. I said I'm going to go with the Steelers. If Sam Bradford plays, I still would go with the Steelers also. They got Xavier Rhodes over there to guard Antonio Brown, and then Vikings defense is very good. But I don't really think there's not one cornerback that can actually stop Antonio Brown to a certain extent. But I think it's going to be a very defensive-oriented game. If Sam Bradford doesn't play, it's going to be a blowout. It's not going to be close. But if he does play, I say they only win by the Steelers win by a touchdown. No, by most a touchdown, maybe 3 points. But I expect a very defensive, hard-knocks game, getting your face smashed in football. And expect Le'Veon Bell, too, to actually have his come-out game this week. He was getting the rest off last week, so I'm not going to say because I have like 150 all-purpose yards or anything, but he's going to have a good game.
Well, I hope so. I could certainly use the fantasy points from this week. Coming to you, Tavon.
So you're saying that Sam Bradford is pretty much for sure out in Case Keenum?
It's pretty much at this point in time a game-time decision. But they did sign a quarterback off the practice squad, which is never a good sign.
Okay. Well, doubting from last week's game, especially Cleveland, I still feel like that Steelers' defense has tout, especially if you let a rookie quarterback like DeShone Kizer still dictate the offense in some ways. The Browns' defense really got to the Steelers a little bit as well until the last and final drive. So I honestly feel like it's still going to be a close game. I still have the edge going to the Steelers. If Sam Bradford doesn't play, I give it to the Steelers. If Sam Bradford do plays, I'm going to give it to the Vikings because that offense with Sam Bradford, he pretty much played with everybody. He knows everybody's tendency. He has a good connection with Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. The running situation with Dalvin Cook. Last week, Steelers couldn't really stop the run, especially Isaiah Crowell. DeShone Kizer ran out the pocket a few times. I feel like the Vikings will have a really good chance of winning that game, only if I feel Sam Bradford is to go. If not, if Case Keenum is in there, I feel the Steelers is going to throw a lot of different looks at him and pretty much get I feel like the Steelers are going to win that game.
All right. Coming to you, Real.
I think this is I think the Steelers are going to win this game. It'll be really bad if Sam Bradford doesn't play. I still see them winning if Sam Bradford does play. Just the fact that I know he's banged up, I don't like those chances for Minnesota. I think they need a fully healthy Sam Bradford for them to beat Pittsburgh. I think Antonio Brown will be the difference maker in the game, and I think he will make a big play in that game, whether it be the first through the fourth quarter. He'll make a play that makes a difference in that game.
Okay. Well, my thoughts on this game is similar to Chaz, where I feel that whether Bradford plays or not, Pittsburgh will win this game. But if Bradford does not play, this thing could get really ugly. Because we've seen in the past, Pittsburgh can put up points, and they can put up points in a hurry. And Minnesota, that's just not their forte. With or without Bradford, is putting up points in a hurry. So I think that's my thoughts. Not really much more to say about that until we hear if Bradford's playing or not, in my opinion. So moving on, Cardinals, Colts. Mark, we'll come to you since, obviously, the Colts are your team. Jacoby Brissett is starting. Does anything change?
Not a chance. I'm gonna take Arizona in this game. Last week I cheated the Rams and I said they was only going to put up 27 and they put up 46. I'm going to go with the score of 38-13 in favor of the Cardinals. I just don't think the way the Colts organization is ran, they're not meant to play without a high-level talented quarterback that makes up for their glaring holes that you all saw last weekend. And I think that continues. I think Jacoby Brissett is better than Scott Tolzien, but does he make up 40 to 35 points? No, he doesn't. And I think the Cardinals will win this game easily. And I think Carson Palmer throws for about 350, 370 some yards on the Colts. And I can see John Brown. I think John Brown will be the guy that has the big game.
Okay. Coming to you, Tavon.
Oh, my fault.
What you thinking?
Okay. Yeah. Brissett, and you said 38-13. I say more and less. What I mean by saying more and less, I say 42 to zip, maybe. I don't know. Because I don't see this Colts team. And I'm not trashing on your team rules. It's just Brissett.
Oh,
the last time.
Not bothered by it at all.
Okay. Pretty much the last time we saw Brissett, yeah, he's good on his feet. He can escape out the pocket. Sure, but this is on the Colts now. The only weapons is T.Y. Hilton, pretty much Dante Moncrief, who pretty much isn't a no-show because there's no quarterback there. And the only thing Brissett has is a strong, powerful arm. He can throw it down the field, but he isn't accurate. So what do you really have? And then also you have no offensive line really protecting him. So Cardinals defense, not a good matchup. Completely not a good matchup. You have an all-pro corner guarding against your best receiver. You literally have a stout front seven. And then on the defensive side, you got lit up by the Rams by Jeffrey Goff. I don't see the Colts scoring. I don't see them stopping the Cardinals. I'd say more than 38 points. I say they put up 40s. And I really feel like it's going to be a shutout, or the Colts will at least score probably a few field goals, probably putting it up by like 9-6. But I give it 42-6 at least. I give them some field goals, but I don't see the Colts really do anything. It's just bad out there, especially without Andrew Luck.
Oh, harsh, jeez. Chad, any love for the Colts?
Because Jacoby Brissett sucks too. So, to be quite frank, he is terrible. He's like a college quarterback. He's like Blake Sims. Like, literally, he's the equivalent of Blake Sims. Everybody's excited because he had a touchdown. Let's remember when he played against the Chiefs in Texas, though, last year with the Patriots when he got shut out that game. Was it the No, he played against – who knows?
The Bills.
My bad. He played against somebody.
It was the Bills.
Yeah, the Bills. He played against the Bills. Yeah, there we go. He got shut out. He sucks, just like Tozin. Second half, Tozin comes back in. He throws a pick six the first play. He throws a pick six. I call him two pick sixes this game. They might score 6 points, possibly. I'm expecting 40 from the Cardinals. Carson Palmer has a big game. He also throws a pick, though, too, because he's not that good anymore. He's an old hag. So we're going to see Carson Palmer throw a pick. We're going to see Jacoby Brissett throw a pick. And we're going to see Scott Tozin come back in a game, your favorite player, Angry.
Oh, no.
I mean, didn't they have other quarterbacks that they was working out to besides from Scott Tolzien and Brissett? Like, wasn't that another person in the mix?
Jim Sorgi, is he back?
Oh,
man.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Tolzien.
Hey, to be honest with you, I feel like one of the quarterbacks is going to get injured, and I feel like they're going to have to keep on recycling quarterbacks. Like, literally, they ain't going to have to, like, go through their depth chart completely to the last quarterback. I feel Cardinals is really going to do some damage on the Colts. It's going to look ugly.
So they're going to bring in Jamarcus Russell.
Might as well.
Especially, regardless if David Johnson's out, they just, like, I feel Carson Palmer is going to have a field there. I feel like if you're having anything in fantasy, I feel like you just play any Cardinals player you can. Just to hope and pray that the players literally get whatever they get.
No love for the Cards. Well, I mean, I am gonna pick the Cardinals to win this game, but I'm gonna pick 28-17. I don't trust Carson Palmer as much as I trust other guys either. I think the Colts rebound just a tad, just a little bit here. So I guess we'll move on to the next game of the week here. Says we have no love for the Colts in this panel. Get well, Andrew Luck. Get well.
Please do.
Pats and the Saints. It's a big matchup. So I think we got two Hall of Fame quarterbacks going, two defenses that may be struggling right now. So we'll start with you, Tavon. What you thinking?
Pats and Saints. So this is pretty much the return game for Brandon Cooks. Has everybody know Brandon Cooks pretty much got traded? I think he got traded or he got signed by free agent. I think he got traded.
He got traded.
I believe so, yeah. I say Patriots. Again, Saints defense, not good, never has been good. I think it's going to be a shootout, though, completely, because the Patriots defense is not good up to par and it's been confirmed Dante Hightower's out and now Danny Amendola's out. So, completely, I feel like Brady doesn't have receivers to trust. I feel like he's going to have a hard time out there a little bit. I think him and Cooks have a good connection. That's why I feel like Cooks is going to go off this game. Just from that week one game, like, he did really good. I feel he's going to hit up Gronk a lot, especially with the Saints defense. Especially a big oversized player like Gronkowski, I don't feel like any of the safeties could really handle against that, especially a man-to-man coverage. I feel like it's going to be a shootout. I feel like Breeze is going to throw the ball around. Patriots defense is not that good. I feel like Brady's going to throw the ball around. It's going to be a completely offensive game here. And I don't see any lick of defense being played whatsoever. I think whoever puts up the most points is going to be the winner. And ultimately, I feel like the Patriots, because by all means, I feel like they have a better offense.
Okay.
And Willie Snead
okay.
is still out, too, for the Saints. So, I mean, it's not really, like, all you really have is Kobe Fleener, Michael Thomas, and the running game. And that's if they even give the ball to Adrian Peterson, so.
Yeah, Adrian may be getting his walk of paper sooner than later.
Yep.
So we'll take it to you, Chad. What's your thoughts? Pat Saints.
We have two bad defenses right now. Saints, like Tavon said, the Saints have never had a good defense, and the Patriots' defense does not look good. It's going to be a high-scoring game, and I'm definitely going to take I'm taking the Patriots. I think everybody done pissed Tom Brady off, and when you piss Tom Brady off, he cheats, and he gets the dub. So,
how do you think he'll cheat, Chad? What do you think he'll come up with this time?
What'd you say?
What do you think he's going to come up with this time?
Oh, what is he coming up with this time? He's going to put grease on the footballs. He's putting grease on all the opposing footballs. I just don't know
yet. Drew Brees does have small hands, so that may affect the game.
It's going to be real slippery.
All right.
And one of them going to notice in the second half. It's going to pop out their hands. And like,
and maybe too late by then. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be too late anyway.
So you're picking a pass. All right.
Yeah, picking the Pats.
We got Tavon and we got Chad picking the Pats. Any love for the Saints, Mark?
Actually, yeah, I'm going to be the one that I'm going to go with the Saints in this game. I think two bad defenses right now. I think the Patriots are really, really banged up on defense. Hightower's not playing, and he's the only linebacker they have. They got rid of Jamie Collins. This guy, Marsh, is terrible. I don't know why he's on the football field. The Patriots have no pass rush. And when no pass rush comes, that means you have to take more chances at blitzing. And I think the Saints will take advantage of that with one-on-one coverages. I think though Brandon Cooks will have a big game. I could see him going for 150 to 200 receiving yards in that game just because the Saints won't have any defense as well. I think the Saints do need to run the ball in this game, though, to win the game, whether it be Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram or the rookie Alvin Kamara from Tennessee. I think they need to establish some run game to keep the Patriots on their heels, but I think they will find a way to come out with a victory in this game.
So we got 2-1 so far, so I guess I'm the tiebreaker. I am going to go with Tom Brady and the Pats. Only reason I am going to is because they lost week one. And I just don't have a habit of betting against Tom Brady. It just hasn't worked out much for me. So I'm going to go with the Pats in this game. I think Brandon Cooks has a pretty big game here. Although I think the game is a good game. I think the game is good. I don't think it's a blowout. I don't think it's a snoozer. I think it's a really good game. I'm going to go with the Pats by 10, 41-31. So, moving on to the next game of the week, Browns-Ravens. DeShone Kizer. He played well week one. Does he follow it up? Another strong effort by the Browns, or are the Ravens still their bully? We'll start with you, Mark.
I think the Ravens are still their bully. I think Joe Flacco will do enough to put about 20 to 27 points on the board. I don't think the Browns will be able to put up that much offense. And I think that will just be the story of the game. Not enough offense for the Browns. They'll turn the ball over once. Kizer will make a rookie mistake. He'll probably throw a bad pass. I could even see him getting strip sacked because he holds on to the ball so long. I could see Terrell Suggs getting a strip sack in that game, making a big play. I'm going to go with the Ravens 27-14.
Okay. Coming to you, Chad. What's your thoughts, brother?
Let's get a little tea sizzle up in here. I got the Ravens winning this game. I think their defense is going to be too much for Kizer. As Real just said, we all noticed that he definitely holds the ball for too long. I think he's going to slow down from week one. I think he's going to have a decent game, but not enough to stay with Joe Flacco and him. I actually think Flacco's going to have a good game this game. But I think it's going to be close, though. I don't think it's going to be a blowout or anything. I'd say they win by 2 touchdowns at most, but I'm going to go with the Ravens. I got their defense being too much for the rookie. So let's go with the Ravens.
All right, Tavon, last but not least.
All right, so I feel as though this is going to be a close game. I feel as though, yes, the Ravens is going to cause a lot of headaches for Kaiser, especially that defense. But I also feel like Flacco is going to get a lot of headaches from the Browns defense. And I feel like Justin Tucker is going to be the person to bail them out. So I honestly feel as though the Ravens probably going to win by like 2 field goals, probably near a touchdown. I don't know. We'll see. But I feel like you can't sleep on that Browns defense, especially with a Ravens offense that I feel, even though they have Jeremy Maclin, he's still got some receivers, I still feel like they're missing something from that running back position. I feel like Terrence West is not going to get the job done. I feel has the other running backs as well, the people that they signed today, Alex Collins, unheard of. Danny Woodhead is not out there, especially being a pass-catching back out of the backfield. He's gone for 6 to 8 weeks. I feel like the Browns' defense can actually hang with those receivers. Not like they had trouble with Antonio. They had trouble with Antonio Brown comparing to this week now with Joe Flacco and Jeremy Maclin. We'll see. We'll see what the corners are made of. But I feel as though the Ravens will win by 6. I don't think this is going to be a 2-touchdown game at all. I feel like it's going to be really close.
Okay. Okay. Chad? Wait, that come to you already, Chad?
I went already.
Yeah, you did. Okay. You went already. Chad went already.
Okay, so it's just on me.
Yep.
And we have all Ravens so far, correct?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm gonna go with the Ravens. I think that Art Modell continues to curse the Browns franchise, and the Ravens are still their daddy. They're not ready yet, maybe in a couple years, but this team is young. But it'll be a good test for them. But I think the Ravens win by 14 here. Too much experience. Too much experience for me. So moving on, and we have about 12 minutes left in the show. So we're almost done with our games. So we'll go on to the Eagles-Chiefs. Start off with you, Mark. Who you got?
Chiefs. Tyreek Hill has a big game if he plays. The injury of Ronald Darby will be missed for the Eagles secondary. Them adding him was supposed to be the huge help for their secondary, and he got injured, and I think that's going to make a huge difference. I think Tyreek Hill has a big game, too much speed, and the Chiefs win that pretty easy, and Andy Reid will be happy to beat the Eagles.
Okay. Chat, going to you.
I'm going with the Chiefs. I don't think Kareem Hunt has a big game like he did last week, but I do expect him to have a decent game. Tyreek Hill, I expect to expose their defense. I expect Travis Kelce to have a bigger game this week than he did last week. I think Carson Wentz slows down. I think he throws a pick to Marcus Peters. I think he tries to challenge Marcus Peters. I think he throws a pick, at least one, to him. I think their defense is going to be a little bit too much. I do expect to see a little bit of something from Alshon Jeffrey. At least 50 yards. But all in all, I'm going to pick the Chiefs by at least a touchdown.
Okay. Tavon?
Chiefs-Eagles, as Mark was saying about the secondary, basically, just has Ronald Darby is very important for the Eagles, especially in terms of basically them playing tight coverage. Eric Berry being gone is going to be very missed, especially for the Chiefs. I feel, though, the Chiefs' defense is still going to hang. Eagles did good last week against Kirk Cousins, especially how he played and pretty much how Washington played defensively. Eagles basically passed the ball. Carson Wentz did really well, especially finding Nelson Aguilar. Alshon Jeffrey was pretty much getting met up with Josh Norman. This week he has to go against Marcus Peters. So I don't know how to really predict it, but I feel like the Chiefs is going to win. Just because of what they have on offense, Tyreek Hill, Marcus Hunt, I feel like the Eagles' defense is not really what it's set out to be, even though they do have a good defensive line. I feel as though the secondary, again, with Ronald Darby, is much of a major loss compared to Eric Berry. I feel Alex Smith has something to prove as well. He's going to find his receivers. He's going to lead him touchdowns, especially comparing to last year's results and numbers where they didn't really get as much touchdowns. They basically won games off of the defense and pretty much kicking field goals. So I'm going to have to go over the Chiefs here. I feel like Alex Smith this season has something to prove, and especially when you don't have any talent in the defensive end for the Eagles as far as the defensive line goes, and really solid middle linebacking core. I feel like their secondary is going to be their weakness in today, this week's game. So I have the Chiefs. And by the score, I'll probably give it, like, by a touchdown, probably a field goal. Probably going to be, like, a two-score game.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this one because they're the home team. I expect the Eagles to have a little bit tough time on the road. They have a lot of new players on their offense. Still younger quarterback. And you're going to list with that, and I feel, is an elite defense in the Chiefs even without Eric Berry. So I'm going to go with Chiefs, but not by much, by 6 or 7. Maybe even 3. But it's not going to be, I think it's going to be a close-scoring game. 23-20, 26-20, something around there. So moving on to our next game. We are going to talk about the Titans and Jags. If the Jags defense for real, and if the Titans taking a step back, what do we feel? Mark, starting with you.
I'm gonna go with the Jags in this game. I feel like Titans. The strength of their team is running with DeMarco Murray, and I feel like they've cut back on giving him carries, which I think hurts them in the long run in this game, unless they change their game plan. But I don't think they will. I think they're going to try to get Derrick Henry in there and let him run the ball. I just think the Jags' defense will be a little too much, and I'd see Leonard Fournette having another 100-yard game with at least another rushing touchdown. And the Jaguars will win that game about, I'll say, 24 to 21.
Okay. Chat, coming to you.
I'm actually going to go with the Jags also. As y'all know, I don't have too much faith in Mariota. I think he's overhyped. I think he's good, but I think he's very overhyped. I'm not saying that their Jaguars pass rush is going to get to him because I still think the Titans have one of the best offensive lines in the league. But as all together, though, I think Mariota is going to take a step back this season. I think the Jaguars' defense is going to be a little bit too much for him at one point in time, and so I'm going to go with the Jags. And I expect Blake Bortles to have a decent game this week. So he passed for 300. I'm not going to say 350. 300, though. I give him 300. It's tough for me to say, but I'm going to give it 300. But other than that, yeah, so let's go to Jags.
All right, Tavon, thoughts, Titans, Jags.
Okay. First thing, Blake Bortles 300, never happening. I don't know.
It's happening.
No.
It's happening.
No. No.
It's
stop.
Happening.
Stop.
They get down enough, they have stop. To throw it. He can get it.
Allen Robinson is out for the season. No.
Hey, look. They got Allen Hurst. They got the other Allen.
Man. Jacksonville, definitely because they defense. I feel like it's a nasty defense this year. I feel like Tennessee, even though they have these offensive threats, they have DeMarco Murray, they got Derrick Henry, they don't know what they want to do between those two. I feel as though for the Titans, they're going to be more run heavy. They're going to try to force it at Jacksonville, even though they have a good defensive line, but that's because they have a good O-line. Titans O-line, I feel like, is going to help them out. But I feel as though Jacksonville's secondary is just nasty. I feel the defense, just in general, is up to par now. I feel like it's going to bail out the Jacksonville offense. I mean, pretty much with Blake Bortles taking snaps at quarterback. And I do feel like the running game for Jacksonville is still going to be existent, especially with Leonard Fournette and maybe TJ Yeldon coming back. I feel Leonard Fournette is going to do his work. He's probably going to lead them to probably field goals, probably lead them to down the field. only can go how far as Blake Bortles can go as well for offense, but I feel like the defense is just too much for Tennessee. I feel Mariota is going to get sacked a few times, not too much because he can get out the pocket and run as well. But as far as that game, I feel Jacksonville is going to win it by 7, maybe even more, depending on what Mariota has to offer on the table.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Tennessee in this game. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have a letdown on offense, especially. I'm not fully sold on that defense yet. I believe it'll be a good defense this year, but I'm not sold on them having the performance they had 2 weeks in a row. So I'm going to end up going with the Titans on this one in a fairly close divisional game. So that's my pick. So moving forward, we are going to go to the Jets and Raiders. Do we have to spend much time in this game? I'm just going to pick the Raiders for all reasons above.
Yep.
Mark, coming to you.
As I said, week one, Jets aren't winning a football game this year. I should tell you my pick.
Tavon, we'll come to you, buddy. Sorry.
Bro, I'm a Jets fan, and I don't even believe in my team. Raiders, go ahead.
Jets?
Come on now. Come on, man.
It's just sad, right, man. It's sad. It's sad. It really is. I don't know. It's just sad, man.
Instead of just to pack their bags.
Okay, well, I guess we'll move on.
Last thing about that, though, Marshawn Lynch is running wild. That's all I got to say.
Beast mode is back. Okay.
Yep.
All right, well, moving on, we'll go to the Dolphins-Chargers. Mark, we'll start with you.
It's a weird game. I feel like it could go either way. I'm going to go with the Dolphins. Simply just think they'll be a little bit more motivated.
Okay. Chat, coming to you.
I would like to go with the Dolphins because I want to put faith in Jay Cutler, but I'm going to go with the Chargers. Only reason being is their pass rush and their defense, mostly because of their pass rush. I think Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa and Atuch, whatever, I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, but I feel like they get after the quarterback, give Jay Cutler a hard time. He starts making his boneheaded plays like usual, and Phillip Rivers capitalizes this time. Or maybe, like I said, maybe, just maybe, they might have a fourth quarter meltdown. So we never know with the Chargers. You might have a good team, might have a bad team. So we'll find out, though.
Okay, Tavon, coming to you. Chargers, Jets, Dolphins.
I say Dolphins. I feel Jason Verrett is out for this game. I feel like Cutler has some players he can pass to, even though I don't even feel like they're going to be passing the ball as much. They're going to be running the ball a lot. Cutler, again, still needs to get a part of the scheme. He has an extra week to prepare. I feel like they're going to throw him in some pass plays, obviously some play action, where you can get the ball down the field to Jarvis Landry, to Devontae Parker, to those players, Kenny Stills even. And I feel like the Chargers, yeah, their pass rush is going to be there, and I feel like Cutler is going to get pressured a lot. But I feel as though that run game is going to be heavily relying on with Jay Ajayi, and I feel like it's going to bail him out in the end, especially. I feel like, yes, Phillip Rivers is going to probably put up points against the Dolphins. I feel like that's going to be one of the things that probably will give a Chargers team an edge, but I feel as though the Dolphins is going to basically play time management, basically run the ball effectively, waste a lot of time, make sure that Phillip Rivers doesn't get the ball back in his hands to do anything, and I feel like the Dolphins is going to win that game. It's going to be close.
Okay.
Though, for sure.
Okay. Who's next?
I think it's you.
Oh, me. I'm going to make sure I'm going to go with the Dolphins in this one. I think that think that it's going to be a good game. So that's the route I'm going, but I'm going Dolphins, home opener. Chargers, I don't think they're going to be any good this year, although they will show signs, but that's about it. That's pretty much all I have to say about that. All right, moving on, we're going to go to the Broncos-Cowboys. Simeon impressed last week. Does he build on it?
That's an exciting game. I really want to watch that game.
Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, lead defense, lead offensive versus lead offensive line. Who you got, Mark?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Zeke's going to be too much in this. Yeah, I think Zeke's going to be too much in this game. I think he's going to run for at least 115, 20 yards. Wastes a lot of clock. I don't think the Broncos get many opportunities on offense, and when they do, I don't see them doing very much. Kicking a few field goals. They'll get some touchdowns though. But I'm going to take the Cowboys 27-17.
Okay. Chat.
This is tough. I don't like picking against my team. So I'm not going to pick against my team. I'm going to pick the Broncos. I do think Zeke's going to have a big game because our run defense is not that good, and that was the problem with it last year. But, granted, I don't think that person is going to have a good game this game as far as passing wise. So they're going to have to rely on Zeke way too much. I feel like Trevor Siemian actually has a decent – well, I think he builds on his game he had last week because he had a good game last week, as I said he would. I think he's going to build on that. He starts us off 2-0. I think Demaryius Thomas is too much for their young quarterback, and I think Emmanuel Sanders is too much for their young quarterbacks. So, pretty much, if the Cowboys want to win, they have to have Zeke, and they're going to work him. They're going to have him work him. But I don't think, once again, if Dak's going to be able to make these plays against our secondary. So, I'm going with the Broncos by touchdown.
Okay. Tavon.
I got Dallas on this one. Dallas, I feel like they're going to have an effective rushing attack. Like Mark said, I feel like they're going to waste a lot of time. I feel like they're going to basically draw the game out. I mean, Dak isn't going – I mean, when you really know the Cowboys' offense, they mostly rely heavily on the run game. They throw in a little bit, you know, a few shot plays, a few play-action plays for Dak, and let him use his feet, get out of the pocket sometimes even find open receivers, just basically because the defense have a hard time basically stopping the run game. So obviously they know he's going to defense is going to blitz and pretty much force Dak into a lot of pressure situation, but I think he can handle it, especially against the Broncos. I feel like Zeke is going to be a major factor, and then that secondary for the Cowboys is just really good this year. I feel Simeon is going to have a hard time. I feel like he has nothing really to have him as a backup, such as with C.J. Anderson, to help him with the run, pretty much help him. I feel like the Cowboys are going to win this one. I feel like it's going to be probably 21-13. I give it that, or 21-10.
Okay. I am going with the Broncos in this one. Dallas is flying to the West Coast, or Midwest, I should say, not West Coast, but Midwest, different time zone. Denver's coming off a big win. I think they go 2-0, and then we really see what Denver team is after this. I just think elite defense wins out in this one. So moving on, we're going to discuss the next two games here. Packers, Falcons, Lions, Giants. So give me your pick of both games, and what's your thoughts? We'll start with you, Tavon.
All right, so Packers, Falcons. Julio Jones going off. That's all I got to say, pretty much. I feel Falcons is going to win that game, especially if they get started early, if they go on fire. Julio, after a down week, always goes off. The Bears pretty much held Devontae Freeman and Julio down. I feel like Julio's going to go off against that Packers defense. Who's the other game? My fault.
Lions-Giants.
Odell's back. even though I feel like Matthew Stafford's offense is going to pretty much give Giants defense a little bit of fits, even though they have solid secondary and a really good pass rush. I have to give it to the Giants. I feel like they're going to control the game. They have their offensive leader back. I feel like they're going to give – it's going to be a more versatile offense against the Detroit Lions defense that I feel like – I don't know if Slay is still playing. It's been rumored that he's questionable for the game. But regardless of not, I feel like Giants is going to win that game, no doubt in my mind.
Okay. Chad, Packers, Falcons, Giants, Lions.
For the Packers-Falcons game, I'm pains me to say it because I don't like picking Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to take on the Packers. I don't think this is going to be the game that Julio Jones has his 150-yard game. I think he actually has a quiet game where he has 50 yards maybe, possibly so. We all know that Julio Jones he'll have a decent game, and then he'll break out for 200 yards, and I'll say that'll be next week. But I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be too much for that Falcons defense. They didn't play good against the Buccaneers defense, so what in the hell makes me think they can play good against Aaron Rodgers? No. I don't think the Packers defense is good, but I think it's better than the Falcons defense right now. So I'm going to choose the better team in that. I'm going to pick the Packers and with Aaron Rodgers. And then as far as the Lions and Giants game go, I'm not picking the Giants because I have no faith in Eli Manning. Yes, they have Odell back, so that is going to take attention off of Brandon Marshall, but I still think Brandon Marshall is a bum, so I don't think he's going to do good. I think Sterling Shepard will have a good game, and I think Evan Ingram will have a good game this game too. But I still am going to ultimately take Matthew Stafford with Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. And I think he has a big game. I think he throws for 300. And I think he puts up 4 touchdowns. But the Giants pass rush will get to him. So it's going to be a lot of adversity for him to overcome. But I think he does it, and I think he gets the dub, this guy.
Okay, Mark.
Falcons, Packers, I'm going to take the Packers. I think it's going to be similar to the NFC Championship game last year. Obviously, don't think it'll be as big of a blowout, but I think the Falcons will win that game rather easily. I think they will jump out to them early, just like the Falcons did last year. And I think the Falcons pass rush will get to Aaron Rodgers and make them one-dimensional, even though they're kind of already one-dimensional, but when you know someone's going to pass, it's somewhat – it's like tipping your hand, make mistakes, stuff like that. And I think the Falcons will do that. And like Tavon said, I think Julio Jones has a big game. He usually – if he has a somewhat down week, he usually bounces back the next week, and I think that's what will happen. And I see the Falcons winning that game by 7 points. As far as the Giants and Lions, I'm going to pick the Giants. I think with signs of Odell coming back, I think he'll make a huge difference. With or without Darius Slay, I don't think they have anybody can cover him, and they'll have to double-team him and roll coverage his way. And I think that will help the other guys on their team. And I'm going to pick the Giants, and I think they're going to win by about 14 points.
All right, in these games, I'm going to pick the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers had a little bit of a down week last week. I don't have any faith in the Falcons after that Super Bowl letdown still. Picking the Packers, plain and simple. When it comes to the Lions and Giants, I am still picking the Giants to win the Super Bowl, but I am picking them to lose this week. I think they start 0-2, then I believe the shakeups come. The changes, the added players. Short and sweet. Lions is my pick. Are we even going to talk about the 49ers Seahawks?
Nope. No.
Let's not. Let's
okay,
just move on.
So I'm assuming we're all going with the Seahawks.
Seahawks, yeah.
Come on, Ruff!
Yep.
Yeah. That's how we feel about that one.
All
right. So that's pretty much going to conclude the show, but we got one more segment that we want to implement. I'm going to give everybody 30 seconds to go on whatever rant, anything in sports that you want to go on. We'll start with you, Tavon.
Just 30 seconds, man?
30 seconds, bro. Got to fit it in.
I'm going to need more than 30 seconds. Okay. New York Jets, man. I feel terrible that we have a quarterback named Josh McCown that barely has the arm of a noodle, a running back that's old as dirt, and pretty much a defense that doesn't even know what plays is even being called or even have play recognition to even recognize what the play it is. We got busted by LeSean McCoy, and pretty much the Bills defense completely ransacked us. I hate being a Jets fan. We're the worst team in the NFL, besides from the Colts right now, from Andrew Luck being gone. I hate being a fan of this team, but I have to be a diehard.
All right. Chad.
All right, here we go. I got three topics to cover real quick. Lamar Jackson, you can't throw worse shit in the, against good defenses. Once again, your true colors showed, and you made me look like a fool yesterday because I said you're going to have a good game. You suck, unless you're running. Two, they just gave Triple G and Canelo a draw, which it wasn't. Triple G won that fight. But, hey, I guess not, because they gave him a damn draw, which is fucking ridiculous, because if you think about it, this is supposed to be the fight that brings back boxing. Who the hell is going to watch a boxing match if you give a people a draw? As you saw Triple G win. And three, I don't even remember my last topic. Once again, Lamar Jackson sucks. So there we go.
Mark.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Chad. Lamar Jackson, you are terrible. I hope some team wastes a pick on you, not the Indianapolis Colts, and you ruin someone's franchise because you are absolutely horrible. The Canelo Triple G fight in a draw, that's really disappointing. This is for me and Chad. For any of the college football fans out there, USC is about to get upset by Texas. And for the NBA, as I said on the last show in this segment, can't wait for the NBA to start to prove Kyrie Irving is overrated.
Okay.
Wait. I remember now. AJ McCarron is trash. Cincinnati fans, please stop thinking he's a hope. He is trash. He's a typical Alabama quarterback. He's not good. They don't play in the NFL. Please stop thinking he's better than Andy Dalton. He's not. They both suck. You need to draft a quarterback. Tank this season so you can get the number one pick. That's my advice to you guys.
All right. Well, I want to cover a rant here. I want to cover on the Bengals a little bit. Fire Marvin Lewis. Get rid of Andy Dalton, please. And let's not have the parole board there anymore. Let's clean it up. And my second rant is for you, Floyd Mayweather. You know, I have rode with you throughout the years, brother. I've always had your back. But condoning and saying President Trump is a real man for saying grab him by the pussy, not okay. It is not okay. Take your $350 million and shut the hell up, Floyd. Read off the teleprompter. Well, never mind.
You know you can't read. Dale.
Well, that's our time for tonight. That is our time for tonight.
I think that deserves a come on, Russ, before you even get off.
Wind it up. Come on, Russ. Come on, Russ. Come on, Russ. Come on, Russ. That's our time. Everybody have a good night. Thank you for listening. We will see you back later in the week with the College Show with Chad and Mark, and also the review of what happened Sunday here. All right, everybody have a good night. Be safe, be blessed. Listen in next time. Thank you for joining us.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.